This hour is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Live from Macho Blue Earth, Robbins Kaplan Studios, Native Roots Radio.
We went to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people, and then finally the new generation would never know what
happened. I'm a member of the American Indian Movement, and I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
Buju, everybody. My name is Peggy Flanagan. Guabagani Gadikag and Jujuba. I'm from the White Earth Nation, and my family's the Wolf Clan.
There's trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
That the American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. I thank you.
But what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We're here, we'll stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Ahu, Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunjahade, Hingadena. So we have a really big show, Wendy. We have Winona LaDuke, House of Honor of the Earth. We have Red Dawn, South Dakota State Senator, Ruth Buffalo, Mary Kunish Podine, Emma Needham, yourself, Uncle Curtis, Nancy Bolio. We just have a big show going.
Wow, it is packed today.
Right, and that's pretty much the show every week, and yeah. We just keep our fingers crossed that everyone can make it. And so let's go right to Emma Needham with our news.
Nice, thank you.
Bonjour, everyone. This is Ogama Gnu Ikwe. My other name is Emma Needham. Today is July 12, 2020, and I'm here for Native Roots Radio with an update from Turtle Island this week. After a landmark and historic victory this past week regarding the Dakota Access Pipeline, Judge James E. Boasberg ordered the pipeline shut down, pending additional environmental impact review. This is the first time in history that an operational pipeline was ordered closed for environmental reasons. Judge Boasberg's ruling came the same week as two other pipeline victories, when the developers of the Atlantic Coast Gas Pipeline canceled their project, citing escalating costs and delays, and the same day the Supreme Court upheld a previous decision to deny a key permit for the Keystone XL line. Meanwhile, the company behind the Dakota Access Pipeline, Energy Transfer Partners, has announced that they do not intend to make preparations to shut down the pipeline by the August 5th deadline, and instead will continue to take shipments from the Bakken Shale field as they plan to appeal the decision. Analysts are still up in the air on what they believe the outcome of this situation will be, citing that Energy Transfer Partners is expected to appeal on the basis that Judge Boasberg overstepped his authority, and arguing that there is no previous case law to back his unprecedented decision. Judge Boasberg's ruling on the Dakota Access Line came on Monday, July 6th, and by Thursday, July 9th, Energy Transfer Partners had already requested a halt to the judge's order, saying that it would take 3 months to shut down and empty the pipeline. Energy Transfer Partners Vice President argued that while it is possible to shut down the pumps that keep the oil flowing through the pipeline, it is not physically possible to drain the pipeline of its contents. The company also noted that the cost to preserve the pipeline for future use were $24 million, and that the company would suffer a loss of $67.3 million for each year that it remains inoperable. Boasberg denied this request, and the next stop for this decision is the U.S. Court of Appeals. Another question in the future of this particular pipeline is Trump's hand in pushing for these projects. Just 4 days after Donald Trump's inauguration, he signed 2 executive orders to support the oil and gas pipeline industry, as well as a directive mandating that federal regulators reconsider their earlier decision to conduct a deep environmental review of the Dakota Access Pipeline. Trump held stock in Energy Transfer Partners prior to his inauguration in 2017, and it is not clear at this time how the relationship between Trump and his former investment will come into play. In other Native news this week, the Cleveland Indians appeared to have changed their name. A previous statement from the team on July 3rd read of the team's solidarity in the social justice and equality movement and alluded to discussions about changing their name. Representatives of the team had not made public comment since then, as many of the team's fans were not in approval of changing the name. However, suggestions for the new name came in and included the Spiders, the Guardians, the Rockets, and more. As of the early morning hours of today, July 12th, a Google search of Cleveland Indians name change yielded the Cleveland Naps, former name Cleveland Indians. The Naps is a throwback name, as one of the team's first stars, Napoleon or Nap LaJoie, was so popular that people often referred to the team as the Cleveland Napoleons, or the Naps for short. While it has not been officially announced, the name for the Washington NFL football team will also likely change in the near future. In an amazing show of solidarity, multiple companies pulled the team's merchandise from their shelves and discontinued links to the team's site from their online markets. Companies that pulled the merchandise include Nike, Target, Walmart, Amazon, and Dick's Sporting Goods. FedEx owns the naming rights to the stadium where they will play through 2025 and had also asked the team's name to be changed. The pressure from these sellers discontinuing the sale of merchandise featuring the name or the logo of the team seems to have been enough to force Snyder's change of mind about his long-standing conviction to never change the name. Top contenders for a new name for the team include the Red Tails, Red Hawks, and the Warriors. It is reported that Snyder favors the Warriors for the name per CBS Sports' NFL page. The name is still up in the air, but it was noted on the same page that the team will keep its burgundy and gold colors, but will not feature any Native American imagery in the new logo. In news of Oklahoma, congratulations to our relatives in the eastern part of the state. Following a criminal case involving a Seminole Nation member, nearly half of the state has been ruled as belonging to the nations there. In a 5-4 ruling, the Supreme Court upheld that nearly half of the state is still Native land. An 1866 treaty gave the land to the Natives and described it as a reservation. This treaty was never federally revoked, and the state has no authority to revoke the land rights of Native peoples. The state also has no authority to try Native peoples on reservation lands. The jurisdiction for all crimes committed by Native people on most of the eastern half of Oklahoma will now fall to federal court. The 5 tribes that are affected by this ruling are the Muskogee or Creek, Choctaw, Chickasaw, and Cherokee. The state is currently in collaboration with Creek officials to design public safety and regulatory agreements between the governments to maintain that area. In another amazing show of solidarity for our neighbors to the west, nearly $2.4 million was raised to support protesters arrested on July 3rd, right before Donald Trump's unwelcome fireworks show at Mount Rushmore. The money was raised by the Rapid City-based Endian Collective via its Black Hills Legal Defense Fund and West River Democratic Socialist through its West River Bail Fund. 20 protesters, including the Indian Collective president, were arrested. In comparison, only one counter-protester was arrested during the same time frame. The Pennington County Sheriff, Kevin Tom, told the Rapid City Journal he anticipates many more arrests as law enforcement continues to investigate. The money raised will be used for 4 specific purposes: bond and legal fees for protesters facing criminal charges, travel, housing, and other accommodations for protesters attending their court dates, Legal fees if anyone is sued in civil court or decides to file excessive force lawsuits against law enforcement, and any remaining funds after all criminal and any civil cases have been settled will be used for other legal matters related to the Black Hills. The group reports that there were no large donations from companies, and they estimate that most donations were $30 or less. The donations came from all over the country, and the group was also contacted via email from those outside the U.S. for information about how to send money orders. They plan to close down the account pending a transfer from the Black Hills Legal Defense Fund to the board-run NDN Collective, but did state that they may reopen the site for future use. In other legal news from our neighbors to the west, two members of Congress have written a letter to President Trump asking him to release Leonard Peltier from federal prison because of COVID-19 concerns. Representative Dev Haaland of New Mexico and Representative Raul Grijalva of Arizona wrote that Peltier should be freed because of a policy that allows the release of sick and elderly inmates due to the pandemic. Peltier was sentenced to two life sentences in federal prison for the 1975 murder of two FBI agents on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota. Peltier's supporters have always maintained that he was wrongfully convicted. His 1977 trial was held in Fargo, North Dakota. The letter was also addressed to the U.S. Attorney General William Barr and Federal Bureau of Prisons Director Michael Carvajal and says, "We respectfully ask that Leonard Peltier be immediately transitioned to his home on the Turtle Mountain Chippewa Reservation in North Dakota." Leonard Peltier is currently at a high-security federal prison in Coleman, Florida. He's 75 years old. In more local news, the directors of the American India Movement, Frank Perro and Lisa Ballinger, accepted a gift of $5,000 for AIM. The Native American Community Development Institute and the American Indian Community Development Corporation presented the check to AIM during an honoring luncheon on Friday to honor those who participated in AIM patrol in the South Minneapolis Franklin Avenue neighborhood during the riots that followed the murder of George Floyd. The memo line of the check read Protectors, and the signature line of the check read Community. As always, miigwech, and thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio. Back to you, Wakanjahade.
Pinigigi for the news, Emma.
Wonderful news. Thanks again, Emma.
Much needed to see what's going on in Turtle Island. Up next, Wendy, is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Each week we reach out to Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and we are so pleased to hear from Winona. This week we have a lot to talk about. Welcome, Winona.
Thank you. Minugisha good, Robert.
Yeah, we got a lot of things to talk about. I don't know where to start. Do you want to start with hemp? Do you want to start with Dapple?
Start with the field. Let me start with the field and the new economy.
Yes.
How's that?
Perfect.
Hey, I just got off the phone with Kip Spotted Eagle from out in Rosebud, and he's from out at out west at Yankton, and they're talking about the hemp field coming in Rosebud. And it's coming, these fields are coming in, mine's about knee high, you know, in some places, it's fiber hemp crops. We distributed hemp throughout the region, and we're really pleased to see it's been a good year for hemp. And it's a really interesting thing for tribes because we're trying to figure out how we're going to process this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stories out there here and there, like this piece of equipment, but I'm super excited that the plants are doing well, and it's going to be it really points to, you know, tribes needing to think about what the next economy is. You know, my tribe, probably a little bit like yours, you know, has these casinos trying to figure out, you know, my tribe is looking at spending $400,000, I believe, as a price tag for some kind of facial recognition heat sensing equipment of COVID money.
Wow.
To open a casino. And then, you know, I heard word that, you know, they're saying that they could even do facial recognition for old warrants. I think that's a bad idea.
Right.
I think that's a bad idea. And I also think it's, you know, we want to be safe in our casinos. But, you know, I kind of feel like we don't want to be more like a police state And then I also kind of feel like, Robert, we should have a more diversified economy than sitting here and wringing our hands that we didn't open our casinos yet. And this hemp and agriculture really points to that next economy and that, you know, the new Green Deal. Exactly. And tribes really need to be in the leadership of it, because I really feel like the states, well, particularly South Dakota, but, you know, the states are not really suited for being visionary. You know, even our Governor Waltz is trying to figure out how to manifest. It seems like a bunch of new jobs in the Iron Range. And I was like, time to move on. Let's make good jobs. Right. Good jobs. So thinking about that, but our fields are good. And the other thing I noticed, Robert, is that it turns out that these people, like these food delivery people, like Schwann's, are making a killing, because everybody in the North doesn't want to go to town. And so, you know, if tribes figure out how to grow like food boxes for their people and distribute them, or even charge a nominal fee, like, you know, we got a lot of vegetables, get them out. And that's going to be a long-term plan. So I just feel, I always say this crisis is a big opportunity to shift up, you know, and the crops are growing.
That's right. I know Ho-Chunk has been delivering all through the two-state area, all their offices every Friday, food for everyone. It's been unbelievable, and and they call it direct from the farm to you. And we wow. really have to say, yeah, we had trout, we had fresh trout. Well, it was frozen fresh, and all these vegetables and really good food. And they're taking care of us and also helping the farmers.
Right. And so for me, this is kind of like, you know, people say we want it to go back to normal. I don't want it to go back to normal. I want it to be better. And part of being better is us all having a shake up that we should be growing more food and seeing tribes do it, you know. So that's a good thing. And then seeing this opportunity, I mean, because the economy of the future, a lot of it is going to be like, I think people are not going to want to go all the time to the store now. And so how do we serve that? I mean, how do we serve Minneapolis with, you know, maybe an indigenous food box or something that we could both provide in our communities, but then also provide them to some of our friends that, you know, might want to pay for some good indigenous food. I think there's good opportunity here for us to make a good economy, and I'm gonna do my best to take it. Meantime, my fields are good. All that horse manure and that tilling and that and hoeing, we're good. We're good. Our fields are good. I'm proud of us.
Well, not
proud
only,
of us in this little time. So
not only
this opportunity.
Not only do you do hemp, but you also do a lot of solar, and that's part of your new green economy too.
Right, right. White Earth has got, well, here at the Eighth Fire Solar is our solar thermal installations that we're doing for, you know, reducing the heating bills for our communities. And so that's like a big project we have up here, Eighth Fire Solar. We want to do more installs on that. And then, you know, the other thing is that our tribe is doing some solar. We're a little bit behind because of COVID, but, you know, now's really the time to look at how these rural co-ops operate and how hard it is to get renewables. And just the tribes need to take leadership, and we need to figure out how to reduce our heating bills and reduce our electric bills, because, you know, we're getting gouged, and we need a solution to this. So I'm excited about, you know, our production over Eighth Fire Solar, and I'm really proud of you know, the transition work that tribes are doing across the country to make things better. You know, I'm feeling good about our choices. You know,
right.
But we need to boot it up more. We need to boot it up more instead of spending $400,000 on a piece of facial recognition. I said racial. That must have been a Freudian slip. Racial recognition.
Right.
we might want to just figure out how to spend $400,000 in you know, in something else, like how we make, you know, diversify our economies, because we're all in a bind over that one, and we want to be stronger coming out of this, not weaker.
Well,
and you know, so I'm excited about that. And in the meantime, hey, look out what's happening up in the courts. Now, first of all, I think all of us are surprised at the Supreme Court this last couple of weeks, or what?
Well, really, I know.
I was like, wait, is that the Supreme Court of the United States that made those decisions?
Is this the one Trump elected? Yeah, they're going against him. It's awesome.
I know. I see. I have this theory that they were going to turn. They'd represent themselves. But I was thinking Robert Swit. I think he did on a couple. But I was like, come on. But Gorsuch on that Creek decision, huh?
Yes.
I mean, so good. And then the president has to turn over his tax returns to the Manhattan attorney, and mm-hmm. then
this decision on DAPL.
Yes.
That's very significant. You know, on that pipeline, that the federal judge said, no, you got to take the oil out of that. You got to quit. And I think that that's so significant because, you know, I was thinking about when I was a little kid. We were all little kids once, huh?
Yeah. I
remember my mom, I just went and saw her. She still is really bossy. You know, I'm 60 years old and I'm afraid of my mom get mad at me, right?
Right.
It doesn't go away, right? Anyway, but when I was a kid, like if you ate the candy, if you put that candy in your mouth that she told you not to, she'd make you spit it out.
Right.
Right? She didn't go like, well, okay.
Yeah.
You know, she was like that. No, I told you couldn't have it. I wasn't really allowed to eat candy, you know, and, you know, that's what this is like. And I see that guy who run Energy Transfer Partners, he's saying, well, I'm just going to keep going. Let me blow on by them. I was like, no, your mom said you need to take out the candy.
That's right.
You know? So that's significant.
It's
and,
huge.
You know, people want to know the implications. I mean, they canceled that pipeline out east. And then, you know, DAPL got closed down on this federal. It's the federal lack of diligence. It wasn't even lack of diligence. It was roughshod over tribes. Not even a lack of diligence. It was like hell with you for the tribes. And that's going to be a problem for every pipeline project, you know, because we haven't even got to the federal approvals for the proposed Enbridge. You know, in the meantime, Enbridge is rolling in more stuff every day to the North Country, littering our state.
That's right.
With not only their pipes, but all their stuff to prepare to roll across our wetlands, and they have no permits. And this must have been pretty shaking to them as Enbridge cuts its amount of throughput in its pipes. I think they're cut by 300,000 or 400,000, which is basically the present capacity of Line 3. And, you know, what I have to say is that if I was the Bad River tribe and if I was the Leech Lake tribe, I'd be saying, give us your plans for pipe removal.
Right.
Give us your plans now, Enbridge, and start employing our people. Tell us how many people you're going to employ in removing Line 3, because that, you know, you ain't even using Line 3 basically at this point, the amount that is not going through the pipes. You understand what I'm saying? If Enbridge puts 2 million barrels a day of oil through our state, makes a lot of money. Right?
Right.
You know, the CEO makes well over anything that they have offered any tribe in compensation annually.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
You know, now is the time to come up with a plan to start removing these old dangerous pipes that they keep talking about. And in Wisconsin, I don't know if I have to follow every move Enbridge makes, bad dance move. And they're out there because Bad River. Remember the Bad River tribe said they can't go through there and that they have to remove the pipes that are in there because they're trespassing?
Right.
Right? Well, now in the latest rendition of that, they're trying to condemn land outside of Bad River. And they're going to the state. You know, they got some special sweetheart deals passed by that backwards Republican legislature. You know, they're dangerous Republicans with COVID and everything.
Yeah.
But they try to get the ability to condemn private land for a Canadian multinational, which is what they're trying to do in Minnesota. And this last week, the Ashland County Board of Supervisors made two votes. First vote was against condemnation, and that was a 17-2
wow.
vote against Enbridge by the Ashland County Board of Supervisors against giving Enbridge permits to condemn private land for a Canadian corporation.
Right.
And then 13-3 against the DNR issuing any water quality permits to Enbridge, any water passing Enbridge. So my point is that Enbridge has lost its social license.
Exactly. People are all woke.
Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind is you don't get to be dirty to people for 50 years and then get a new route and condemn more land. You're like that little kid, Enbridge. You don't get a new piece of candy.
Spit it out.
You know, so I've been looking at that, and all I keep saying is the same thing I say my whole darn life. Time for the next economy.
That's right.
Beyond pipelines, man. Let's go solar. Let's do it in Minnesota. Let's be cool.
That's right. We got 10 seconds left. Mascots, real quick.
Man, huh? They're falling. The idols are falling.
That's
the
right.
The masks are falling. time to move on. You know, get yourself like one name, like,
exactly.
You know, so just let's just say time to move on, time to evolve, all you. Let's do it together.
Right.
It'll be
on.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Winona.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, Ruth Buffalo, North Dakota House Representative. We'll be right back.
If you're hurting in your relationship and want to talk, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a free, safe, confidential, and anonymous domestic violence helpline at 1-844-762-8483. Or connect with a live advocate one-on-one by using the Chat Now button at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates offer daily support and referrals for resources, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time.
This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Oh, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm Wakunja Hade. Each week, we are totally blessed to have North Dakota House Representative Ruth Buffalo on. And Ruth, welcome, as always, to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, and Mabagidads, thank you for having me on your show. It's an honor.
So what's happening in North Dakota, and what's happening in your life, and what's happening on Turtle Island? I know we're really excited about, here in Minnesota, we're really excited about the racist logo is going to be gone from the Washington team, and also we have pipelines, no DAPL being shot down. There's all this celebration happening this week.
Yes, it's exciting, exciting times. But locally here in North Dakota, in Fargo, we're still seeing that our COVID-19 numbers are climbing. So there's still concern there, and still working on the ground to make sure that all families are being taken care of and getting their needs met. And so kind of really falls back into the social determinants of health, you know, what are our basic needs? Well, housing, food, and shelter. Housing, food, and healthcare are very important, and so continuing to focus on those areas. The governor has put out, and the governor's office has put out, you know, more funding for elementary and secondary education funding, and we recently saw that at the federal level, $1 million has been allocated towards rural hospitals. So those are some good things that are happening. When we look at like the tribal governments and our tribal nations and the nation-to-nation government relations, it's great that these changes are happening. But I agree with many out there who say, you know, we shouldn't have to beg for what we're getting right now. It should already be a given. And so I think that's something really important to drive home too, is that, you know, it's great that it's happening. But again, let's remember that these certain things should have been in place already. And so hopefully moving forward in the next, this coming election, that hopefully we'll see some positive changes there with a new president. And hopefully the new president will really acknowledge treaty responsibilities and that government to government, nation to nation relationship hopefully will be better than it was in years past.
Well, that's a really good point, too, and I think that goes to our people registering and voting and also trusting the government process. I think with everything that's been going on, COVID and with the George Floyd unrest through the whole country, a lot of things are changing, like names and football teams and baseball teams and more respect. But we also, once we do get our Democratic people in, if that's who we're voting for, which I am, we need to keep them, keep their toes to the fire, so to speak.
Yes, exactly. We're in, we're, as they say, in unprecedented times, you know, and with COVID-19 and the pandemic and all of our candidates who are running for office right now, some who have contracted COVID-19 and are overcoming that. And so still a lot of work to do, and we hope that there will be a shift towards more representation in every level of government. We know that there's a few Native men running in northern Minnesota for city council, county commission. So that's pretty amazing to see. And some of them had lived in North Dakota previously and worked on campaigns and different ballot initiatives. So that it's good to see that leadership is growing. And then still, you know, really wanting to help our local candidates here in North Dakota. We have three Native American women candidates running, two from the western side of the state and one here in Fargo. And then we have a number of women of color candidates running, one from Grand Forks, West Fargo, Bismarck area, and then Fargo, South Fargo-ish area too. So it's exciting to see that there's so many people who step forward to run. But North Dakota, we don't have voter registration yet, but there still are some challenges, again, for our tribal and rural communities with access to post offices. We know that our post office infrastructure, especially in tribal and rural communities, specifically Fort Berthold, Mandaree, has had challenges in the past, and even trying to keep a worker there is challenging too. So, you know, but as opposed to here in Fargo, being in a built environment, we have access to public transportation, to the mailbox, you know, and so infrastructure, we have to look at how we can strengthen that and make sure that we're ready for the November election. But yes, definitely hoping that people will come out and vote in November. And also taking the census is so important. I'm a part of a group through the leadership conference that focuses on getting the census in underserved communities. And so this past week was Faithful, hashtag Faithful Census, and it was focusing on leaders in the faith community and how we can try to spread the message and importance of getting the census taken. And they had different themes for each day of the week. So tried to participate in that as much as I could, but so much work to do. And thank you so much for providing this platform for us to just share a few words on the work we're doing.
That's awesome. And, you know, one of the things, too, I think we're going to switch gears on all the broadcasts that you and I do together. And it's going to be really about registering our Native American relatives to vote, because we can really switch this thing and turn this thing around quickly if we engage our relatives.
Yes, yes, I agree. It's so important. One other thing that's happened in north of us in Grand Forks was a young lady who had just started her Air Force career. She's from Arizona. She was murdered, and the Air Force base in Grand Forks, North Dakota, has not answered any of the questions to the parents of this young lady who lost her life. And the parents want it to be known that it was a murder-suicide, but that hasn't yet been publicly acknowledged, and that's what the parents would like. And so they have many different state legislators in Arizona within their respective district working on this, and also congressional members, and have been in contact with the family as well, and trying to connect them with our congressional delegation here in North Dakota. But it's sad that happened, and this young lady was a visitor here within our state of North Dakota. And so that's something that's kind of been weighing on my mind as we talk about the injustices, and especially within the military arena. It's unfortunate. You know, I come from a family of strong veterans, and my father actually was in the Air Force, stationed at the Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota. So hoping that something will happen towards justice for this family.
Yes, let's stay on top of that, and we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. Again, Ruth Buffalo, House Representative of North Dakota, thank you so much for being on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Yes, thank you. Mazdikidad.
Pini Gigi. We'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Each week, we touch base with Nancy Bolio up in up in the great north. We like to call it deep south, and we also have the deep north, and give us a report of what's going on up there and how we can help, and just give us your truth. Nancy, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me, Robert, and good afternoon. And I am Nancy Bolio, the Northern Organizer for Minnesota 350, and I lead the Bemidji 350 team. And today I just want to emphasize a few things. And first and foremost, Minnesota 350 is going to have a virtual gala July 14th through the 17th. And this is our fourth gala, however you want to pronounce it. And anyway, starting on the 14th, we're going to have at 7 p.m. MN350 panel, and it's going to consist of those of us fighting for racial and environmental justice. And so we're going to share a little bit about what our work is and how inspiring it is to be in such a beautiful movement. And then on the 15th, we're going to have some guest speakers, and we're going to talk about our resistance, our movement from a local movement to a global, how it's spread. And then on Friday, we're going to have some live music. And so I encourage everyone to make a reservation on MN350 on Facebook. And this is a time where we raise our money to help our people continue to do the work that we're doing here in Minnesota. So this year's fundraising money will be allocated to our frontline. And those frontline campaigns include the Minnesota 350 Missing Murdered Indigenous Women's Campaign. It includes the RISE Coalition. And I'm a co-founder in RISE, and we work for more of the Native resistance here in northern Minnesota, so that helps support our work up here. And then it's also going to give to our BIPOC caucus communities within Minnesota 350. So we highly encourage our listeners to really give this year, because these are the communities that are on the front lines. They're doing all kinds of sacrifices to do right by all. So, again, that's July 14th through 17th, and you can find us on MN350 on Facebook, and the virtual gala information is there, and I encourage people to register. We also have a silent auction, and that also helps support the money that will be raised. So make sure you guys dig deep. If you dig deep and you only find $5, it all adds up. So just give what you can, and we support the great people at MN350, and this is the way that we could show that support. And I am an employee of 350, and you know what, I'll be honest, we couldn't do it without the great support that comes in, and we appreciate everything about people coming together and making that happen.
Yeah, that's exciting. I'm going to be the DJ on Friday night.
So we're going to have a good party on Friday night. Yeah.
Holler.
Yes. Sounds great, Robert. Sounds great. And then I also want to remind people, and I can't remember, I know the deadlines have changed for the census because of the COVID. And, well, just like the gala, everything is COVID, you know, scheduled around COVID parameters. And it's just a hard way to do things. But we still have to show up, you guys. We still have to do these things. So the census, the deadline has been changed into the fall. So if you have not reported your household head count, please do so, because in Indian country, that's where a majority of our funds come from. So if we don't register our households in the census reports, we're going to get less funding here for our hospitals, for our schools, for some of our tribal programming. So it's important. Please do your census, and you can do that online.
That's right.
And then also, okay. And then, Robert, we were just talking the other day, and we are going to rock the vote Native style here in Minnesota.
Ooh, I like that saying. Who came up with that?
I think someone with a brilliant mind, and his name was Robert Pilot.
Pinigigi for a shout out.
Yeah. So anyways, we got Rock the Vote here in Minnesota, and we are working on a campaign at Minnesota 350, and we hope to have that launched in the next 2 weeks. And our campaign is going to emphasize on registering our Native population here in Minnesota. So you want to make sure that you're registered to vote this year, because we have a lot of great Native candidates on the local level and on the state level and across the nation. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier in our conversation, Robert, voting is not enough. It means a lot, but even so, the voting part, when we show up to vote and support these candidates, our voices are being heard. So it's really critical this time and age to get out there and support the candidates that align with us here in Indian Country, people that align with our candidates that align with environmental and racial justice. And we want to support that. So I encourage people to get registered. If you cannot wait for our campaign and you want to register today, you can go to Rock the Vote Minnesota and you can register online right there. And I just wanted to give a couple of dates. We have our primary election August 11th, and early voting has started for that already. That started on June 26th and ends August 10th. And the last day to register online for the primaries is, I lost that here somewhere. I might have to get back to you on that one. But anyways, the general election is November 3rd, and early voting starts for that September 18th through November 2nd. And the primary election is also important that we get out and vote, because those are going to determine who's going to be on the ballot on November 3rd. So if you got a candidate out there that you really support and that needs our support, it's in our best interest to get into the primary election and vote. So the deadline for that registration is for online is July 21st. So you can still register for the primaries. July 21st is the deadline. So general election, October 13th is the deadline for online registration. So if you're feeling COVID-19 is something you don't want to mingle with, then it's in your best interest to get online registration done and do your early voting.
We're going to talk a lot about this in the next couple months, but I know, right, like talking to Red Dawn, we talk about South Dakota and how the governor there is so anti-Native and anti-anything, you know, from taking down the walls to inviting 45 there for July 3rd, that we have 80,000 Native Americans in that state, she won by 10,000 votes. So if we could get 20% of those Native brothers and sisters to vote, that governor would never have been in place. So that's how important it is that we get out the Native vote, rock the vote Native style.
Right, because we can make or break somebody's campaign just by showing up. And I think
all
it's time
them.
To show up. It's,
all
right.
Of them.
So I encourage, like, you know, in Bemidji, just on the couple of the Beltrami County Commissioner and the City Council, we have, I think, about 8 Native candidates running, 8. And they're all well-rounded individuals that align with us. So we have some hard decisions to make. But first and foremost, we just need to show up and vote for the best one to get them in. Because here in northern Minnesota, between the Beltrami County Commissioner and the Bemidji City Council, we have a majority vote that rules. And right now, we could tell by the agendas and the ideals that they present that they are not on our side. So we constantly lose by majority vote 3-2. So we need to flip these seats so we have the majority vote and we see change taking place when things like that happen. So that's why I encourage people to really get out and vote this election, because it means a lot to the people of color and for racial and environmental goodness. That's what we need now. So I encourage people to show up, you know, and protect who we are. Just like on Monday, Robert, I was very, very fortunate to attend the 1863 Oak Crossing treaty. The Red Lake and the Pemina showed up on Monday to reaffirm their 1863 treaty rights. And so we know right now is the time. The whole world is waking up. It is our time. I heard one of your guest speakers on your show on Sunday night saying, this is the time. It's now. This is our time. And it is. And it starts with voting, and it starts with showing up, and it starts by defending our treaties. It starts by acknowledging that we're still here and we matter, because we do.
That's right.
And that's what I work for every day, is to make sure that they know that we're still here. And things are only going to get bigger and better. I feel it in my heart. I see it in the movement. And we know with the Walz administration, we have a government-to-government executive order, unlike North Dakota. That's a little bit more hopeful, you know, that our governor can say, hey, I want to sit at the same table with you guys, and let's make good things happen. And so we want to make greater things happen. That's why it's important. We show up to vote. We show up to the meetings. And we show up always in a good way.
That's
right.
And
we just keep praying.
That's a great way to end this segment. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Robert. I appreciate the time on your show today.
Yeah, and thank you for the good words, as always. That's Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350, MN 350 offshoot. Really, thank you so much for your words.
Well, you're welcome, and have a good day.
We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
If you're hurting in your relationship and want to talk, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a free, safe, confidential, and anonymous domestic violence helpline at 1-844-762-8483 or connect with a live advocate one-on-one by using the Chat Now button at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates offer daily support and referrals for resources, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time.
This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut it even.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. This show is dedicated to those who give back and fight back for our people. We are the resistance. We are awake. You know, all things are our relatives. What we do to everything, we do to ourselves. All is one. Black Elk. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years. She is a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at the state level. Wendy, thank you for always putting the spotlight on our sacred animals every week.
It's always my pleasure, and it is my passion, so thank you. You know, our dogs love to go in the car with us and go for a ride. We can't even say car in our house because they want to jump in and go. And we love to take them, you know. But these days when it's so hot, it's been hot, you know, for weeks now. And some people just take their dogs in the car and then they decide to stop at a store. And their intention is to run in for 5 minutes and pick something up, right? But, you know, they pick up a few extra things. They meet a neighbor in the store. The lines are longer than they expected. And by the time you know it, it's 20 minutes later and the dog is still left in the car. On average, 38 children per year die in cars. And hundreds of pets die each year in cars. Mm. They don't know the number because you don't have to, you know, tell somebody that I killed my,
right.
I killed my dog, put it on the record, you know. I think that most people who love their dog and that happened, that they'd be embarrassed and say their dog had a heart attack or something. But dogs can die in the car as little as 6 minutes.
Wow.
And I just have a chart here and it tells us the outside air temperature and the time that passes and what happens to the inside of the car. And these are all estimates because we don't know like humidity and other factors. But the day that you and I went to pick up some food at that restaurant, do you remember? A couple of weeks ago, we parked. It was like at least 85 degrees that day. And there was a dog in the car next door. Parked next door to us. So it was 85 degrees that day. Now, we don't know how long the dog was in the car. It could have been just 10 minutes, but in just 10 minutes, the inside of the car is 104 degrees. 20 minutes, 114 degrees. 30 minutes, 119 degrees, and it keeps going up and up.
Mm.
So we don't know how long the woman left her dog in the car. But I have these cute little brochures, like they're little flyers in my...
Postcards.
Yeah, they're like in my glove box. And it's from the Humane Society of the United States. And it tells, you know, you put it on somebody's car and it tells them very politely why they shouldn't leave the dog in the car? What happens to the temperatures on the inside of the car? How, what that actually happens to the dog? Now, if it was my brochure and I made it up myself, I wouldn't be so I wouldn't be so kind and so nice about it.
So do you have a written one? No, I'm just kidding.
I wouldn't be able to say it on the air.
Oh.
I wouldn't. You know, unlike humans, dogs are unable to sweat. They rely on their respiratory tract to dissipate heat. So dogs that have a more nasal surface area, like greyhounds, you know, they have that long snout, German shepherds and labs are more efficient in dispelling heat. While like our little dog Wanda, she's a Shih Tzu, so she has a smushed face. So dogs like Wanda, a Shih Tzu, or a pug, or a bulldog are more prone to overheat because they're have that shorter nasal passage.
Wow.
I didn't know that. I just learned that this today when I was looking
she's
this up.
And
but she is. I mean, even we took her for a walk last night and it was really hot and you know, it's really scary. And I really want to just every year I say the same thing, you know, and dogs still die and children still die. I can't even imagine leaving a kid, you know, and they leave dogs in the car. And the other thing I wanted to talk about too, Robert, is yesterday we were on the river, on the Mississippi River, and what were we down by Hidden Falls? Is that where it is? Where the dog park is? Okay, so there's a dog park on one side of the river where there was, I can't even tell you how many dogs, a lot of dogs. It's like dog heaven over there. It really,
really
is.
It's fun. It's just fun to watch.
Watch them. They're jumping in the water. They're jumping after sticks and balls, and they're playing with other dogs. And
you see that one wanted to get on her boat too. Remember that?
It was
time?
Chasing us. You know, we're down the river, and the dog was chasing us on the shore. But on the other side of the river is a park. Is it Hidden Falls?
Yes.
Okay, so there's people there fishing and people
boat
putting
landing,
their boating in, and people laying in the sun and having a picnic.
That's a good mile, a quarter mile of
it's,
park.
It's
on the
really beautiful
shore.
Down
yeah.
there. It really is. But as we're going down the river, people on the park side are shooting off fireworks and firecrackers.
Right.
And I'm looking at the dogs on the shore. Now, most of the dogs were okay and didn't really react to that, but there were some dogs that you could see that definitely got spooked by it. And it's already July. What is this? Today's the 11th?
Yep, 11th.
And they're still shooting off firecrackers and fireworks. And I just want everybody, I guess, till the end of July, really just keep your dog and your pet, you know, close by on a leash. And just be careful, because this is the time of year that more animals and pets go missing than any other time of the year.
Remember, yesterday I was kind of going, there's usually hundreds and hundreds of dogs, and there was less.
Well, maybe.
And maybe that's why.
Maybe
because
that's why.
The fireworks. And
it could be.
Because they don't have their leash, and they're running in the river and running on the sandy beach. And
that's
stuff.
A big park. Like, if your dog, especially like our little dog, she got spooked and took off, we may never find her. Like, literally, that's how big that park is.
Right.
But yeah, I just want people to just be aware and just be careful with their pets. Wildlife also gets really spooked. I just read an article yesterday that there's certain birds can get so scared from that bang, they drop dead. Robert, you sent me a really sad story about a horse that got so spooked from the fireworks mm-hmm. that it just ran and ran and ran like in circles, and it was just going crazy. It finally
solo.
It just, that was the name of the horse.
Yeah, Solo.
And he just literally.
I guess his stomach's.
Oh, he had a twisted stomach, and just, that's how stressed out the animal was. And then, you know, parent animals, deer and fox, and they're in the dens with their babies, and then they get so scared, they take off, they get disoriented. They can't make it back to their den or their place where their babies are, and then the babies suffer and die. So it's really, I just wish that they would ban the fireworks. Last night we saw a news article where the helicopter was over Los Angeles on the 4th of July, and the sky was, I've never seen
anything
like that. It was crazy.
Every block.
You said that they showed something here in Minneapolis like somebody, that, too.
Somebody took a picture of it where there's fireworks. Now, it's the booming and stuff.
Yeah, now, the booming there's and the some, vibration, like you could feel it in your chest.
Some people, some countries have no noise fireworks.
There's and I don't know, I mean, they might just have fireworks, not for the 4th of July, because they don't celebrate the 4th of July or Independence Day in Italy, but there is a small town, I can't remember the town, where they have silent fireworks, mm-hmm. and you can play your radio to the music, to the fireworks, but there isn't any banging or zooming or any of those whistles, and it's really hard for people who have PTSD.
Oh, that's what I was just going to say. We talk about our sacred animals, but our relatives, but are also our relatives that have been in the service.
Absolutely. We have to, take care of them. If you want to take a car drive, like you and I will go together. You'll sit in the car with the dogs. We have a car, too, that we could leave the dogs in the car. The car could be running with the air conditioning on. And, if you have to do that, then do that. But leave the air conditioning on. It gets too hot in the car. Really does. It's really, and we could save some lives.
Yeah. And it's very important. I think it's worth bringing up almost every week, mm-hmm. because people forget. And like you said, the babies, people.
Oh, my God.
Don't do it on purpose. They forget they have the baby in the car.
Yeah. Yep, they have things on their mind. The people are busy. They have to run in the store.
Or they
baby's sleeping. Yeah. Finally, oh, my God, finally. Baby sleeping,
and then forgot
when they leave
about
the baby.
It.
I just can't even imagine that.
Yeah. So the more we bring it up, the better for everyone. But yeah, the fireworks, it's just, it's gotten to a point where we used to enjoy them, and then you connect the dots and you go, oh my God, this is bad for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone.
And it's bad for the environment too. The particles and the explosive parts that are left on the ground and are eaten by wildlife or poisonous and could really, it could kill them. Yeah.
So. Wow. Wendy, thanks so much always for bringing up these needed issues and points about our sacred animals, our relatives with the four legs
hooves,
and
tails.
I was going to say
wings.
Leaves. Yeah, wings. I know they don't have any wings, but our leaves. But I appreciate this. And you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And we'll be right back with House Representative Mary Kunish Pudding.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Each week we have a great update from House Representative Mary Kunish Podine. Let's take a listen.
How Matake Yape, it is State Representative Mary Kunish Podine, candidate for Senate in District 41. This is Friday, July 10th, 2020, and I hope you are all well. What an absolutely gorgeous day we had today. After the high heat and the humidity, I have my windows open and there's a breeze blowing through, and it's just been a really beautiful day, which certainly lifts my heart and my hopes for the future. Legislative update for this week. Well, first of all, earlier this week, and what a busy week it's been. I think I say that every week, but it has been a busy week. So earlier this week, our Governor Walz announced that he is allocating $56.6 million of the federal funding to support Minnesota child care providers. And I'm sure every one of us recognizes that child care providers play an incredibly important role in our communities, and they are doing their part certainly to help with the ongoing fight against COVID-19. They've continued to care for our children during the pandemic, but unfortunately they too are affected by the COVID. Many of them are struggling because of decreased revenue and increased costs. The cost of cleaning equipment and PPE and that sort of thing is pretty significant in every business that I've heard of. So the legislator is going to deliver $30 million in emergency grants and increase rates for child care assistance. But we know that we still have to support support these services more to preserve our state's child care system. And so Governor Walz's proposal will definitely help our child care providers so that they can keep their doors open, parents can work, kids can keep receiving high quality care and the learning that they deserve. Now, as the school season looms ever over us, of course, we are so unsure of what the next school year will look like. But there certainly are concerns by parents and by teachers and administrators as to what that's going to look like. We're going to need those child care providers for our teachers and those that are going back to work in the schools. And so certainly appreciate Governor Walz's allocation of monies to keep them up and running. Also on Wednesday, the governor unveiled a plan to use $12 million of the federal coronavirus aid, relief, and economic security, it's also called the CARES Act, dollars to help with hunger in Minnesota. So our food shelves and our food banks have seen an incredible, significant increase in demand since the pandemic began. And so this funding will help approximately 300 food shelves and Minnesota's 7 food banks to make sure that they have the supplies and the foods to help all of our communities. And so with that, we are also very, very busy preparing for yet another special session next week. It will begin on Monday the 13th. We're not sure if it'll last one day or 2 days or 3 days, but we DFLers are really hoping to reach some bipartisan agreement on a number of things this session. And most importantly is the police accountability and the criminal justice reform. As a member of the Posse Caucus, People of Color Indigenous, I and our other members have just been working night and day incessantly on putting together really important, really simple, functional police reform and change. We've had significant pushback from the GOP Republicans. In fact, they often have refused to really talk about it. Luckily, Senator Gazelka has begun to look at what we've offered and has started to begin the negotiations. And so we are ever hopeful that we will really do some significant police reform, public safety reform, and not just go through marshmallow kind of legislation as we have in the past. So that's coming up this next week. We're also hoping to pass a jobs and local projects bill, otherwise known as a bonding bill. Keep your fingers crossed because there are a number of American Indian projects that were requested in that bonding bill. The problem is that they need cash. They need cash to complete these projects and the support, like the Indian American Indian Center, the clinic across the street. We know that Miggazee was destroyed in the civil unrest. They had a request in. Walk on Teepee in St. Paul was requesting money. There were just a number of requests. So keep your fingers crossed that that's going to actually happen. And so we have that special project or that special session coming up. And we'll be also addressing some of the health and economic consequences of COVID-19. So we've got important work to do, and I am absolutely committed to getting results that are going to help our American Indian communities, all of our communities, but especially our communities of color that have always sort of gotten the short stick. It's been a really great week to be Indigenous, And we know that to be true because of the decision that was an absolute win for tribal sovereignty. And that's when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on Thursday that a large portion, and if you've seen the map, it's really quite impressive, a large portion of eastern Oklahoma remains a reservation. That is astounding. I don't know that I would have ever thought I would see that in my lifetime. But the 5-4 decision in the nation's highest court said that Congress never explicitly disestablished the 1866 boundaries of the Muscogee Creek Nation. And so it will now remain, or it has remained, an Indian reservation for the purpose of federal criminal law. And because Congress has never said anything otherwise, they hold the government to its word. And that is, that's part of a quote from the majority opinion that was written by Justice Neil Gorsuch. So he, Gorsuch, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Stephen Breyer, Sonia Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan were all the ones that carried that vote to ensure that, yes, indeed, Oklahoma remains a reservation. And so the Muscogee Nation chair, Jodhni Chaudhry, said that decision is an incredibly huge win for Indian country. And of course, it's profoundly impactful for not only the Muscogee tribe, but also tribes across the nation, where we have had considerable shrinking of reservations just because the local areas or other people have interpreted the lack of folks living on those lines as legitimate boundaries for reservations. And I think Mille Lacs is definitely one of those examples. And so we know that, oh my gosh, it's a history of broken promises, and with so many of our tribal nations, many of the American Indian citizens finally feel uplifted, and for once the United States is being held to its promise. So very, very excited about that. One of the quotes that I heard, I just wanted to share with you, was from Sarah Deer. She's a Muscogee Creek Nation person, and she is a Native American lawyer. She's a professor of women, gender, and sexuality studies at the University of Kansas, and she was a 2014 MacArthur Fellow. She wrote a book that really had an incredible impact on me and so many other folks, called The Beginning and End of Rape: Confronting Sexual Violence in Native America. And so much of that, of what she wrote and her findings in there, were really the fuel for me as when I created, helped to build the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force here in Minnesota. And I know that so many others have used her information in their Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women legislation across the nation. The last thing that was so super duper wonderful is the fact that on July 6th, the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia ordered the Dakota Access Pipeline, otherwise known as DAPL, shut down. And that court said the pipeline has to be drained by August 5th, and that our government should now conduct a rigorous environmental review, which is music to everybody's ears. But of course, Enbridge and Energy Transfer LP, who is the owner, run by Kelsey Warren, is refusing to do so, and has decided to do just the opposite and is accepting requests for oil space on that pipeline in August. And for those of you who don't remember, DAPL is a 1,172-mile-long pipeline that runs from North Dakota to Illinois. And even though the government conducted many different examinations around the risk of DAPL. Standing Rock Sioux tribe fought it like crazy. We had the encampment in 2016. We know that they're not going to give up, and we're not going to give up. And what does that mean for Minnesota and Line 3? It gives us hope. It gives us a lot of hope because we know that those routes endanger our continent's watersheds. It endangers the Great Lakes, all the fresh water. Minnesota is home to 1/5 of the waters, world fresh water, and the heart of our Ojibwe treaty lands. And then we want to make sure that we have those safe and preserved for our next seven nations. So I'm way over time, but I'm just really excited to report all of this good news to you. Keep your fingers crossed while we have our special session on the 13th, and get out and enjoy this summer. It's a beautiful summer to be out and about. So you all take care, be well, wear your masks, keep your distance, and take care of each other. Popolo Tanka. Take care.
Pini Gigi, for your words of wisdom and information. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was House Representative Mary Kunish Podine, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We are blessed to have Red Dawn on our show these past few months, and she's a state senator of South Dakota, and really excited to have her on. Red Dawn, I just talked to Ruth Buffalo, so I'm all confused here, but welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Good morning. Good to be on here.
Yes, thank you. I know we didn't have a show. We had a rebroadcast the week before, and maybe you can just give us a little overview of what's happened in South Dakota.
Yeah, so July 3rd, President Trump and the governor of South Dakota had planned a fireworks show in the Black Hills, our sacred Black Hills, and as you may know, there was an action that was taken, and to make a stance, Indian Collective, led by Nick Tilson, they put up a blockade, and there was a pretty empowering stance taken. And I know that there was a lot of, I saw a lot of my youth that I had taught there, and they all felt very, very empowered, and they, you know, spoke that this is Indian land, this is treaty land, unceded land, and we've never relinquished title to this land. And so that he was coming, you know, upon the Great Sioux Nation's unceded territory that was given to them in perpetuity to have. And so they took that stance. He was arrested. He received 5 charges. 3 misdemeanor charges and 2 felonies, which the worst being the second degree robbery that holds 10 years. So it was that day everyone was arrested. Approximately 15 were arrested. A few were just given citations and let go at the scene. And several were taken, booked, and held overnight. Nick Tilson, being held the longest, wasn't released until Monday. So that was unusual, and it definitely raised red flags. And so we didn't know exactly what to expect, but of course the state was motioned to hold him without bail, but he's represented by Bruce Ellison. And so he did a great job of defending him and just explaining that he was not a flight risk, and you know, just everything. Yeah. So there's, you know, I know that Nick is now back at home resting. Mm-hmm. And he's in good spirits. He's feeling strong. The Oklahoma case definitely was really created a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah,
you know, when definitely. They upheld the 1866
that's crazy
treaty land. Yeah, yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
I mean, so there's just a lot of stuff going on. You know, with the DAPL and mm-hmm. that it was that same morning as it was pretty. It was really interesting because
well,
I came out of.
Within 48 hours, we had DAPL, a name change possibility of a football team, and another thing. And then, of course, July 3rd. What was exciting about July 3rd, too, is that they held the line for 3 hours. And I was watching it online, and Madonna Thunderhawk was there, too, I guess, observing. And she said that... of course, they went right after to the leaders, you know, that were running that protest.
Yes. They definitely did. I mean, that's par for the course. And but I was really proud of the way the protesters peacefully, you know, stood their ground. And there was some escalation on the side of my viewpoints and the side of the state. But it was handled very, you know, diplomatically. That wasn't the intent. The intent was to maintain a peaceful presence there, and they did a great job of doing that.
Yeah, exactly. So I know you have a lot of capacity going on here, and I just wanted to make sure that we got you on the show this week. Do you have any last things you want to say before we let you go?
It's a good day to be Indigenous.
That's great. It's always a good day, right? Thank you so much for being on. And that was Red Dawn, a state senator from South Dakota. We'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakun Jahade. Each week, we are blessed to have Uncle Curtis, and Uncle Curtis named me. He's the elder of our family, and he named me in a ceremony, and that's how I got my name, Wakun Jahade, which means distant thunder. Welcome, Uncle Curtis, and thank you very much for being on.
Aho, Pinagigi Chushke. My name is Moshke Hanajinga. That's my native name. I walk on a white cloud. My colonized taxpayer name is Curtis West. And I got to say, every week, I got to say hello to my beautiful wife, Kim. Baby girl, I love you. And I want to say ha-ho to all my family and relatives and friends in Four Directions. You know, we pray all is well, you know, and, you know, stay safe, mask up. You know, this COVID-19 isn't going away very soon. So be very careful with that social distancing and stuff like that. So that's all I wanted to say on that. And then my Chushke here, let's cut me loose every week. And I give out birthday shout outs. And if we have an event, which has been really quiet, Chushke's got some events for us. But I'm going to start off with the birthdays. I want to say happy birthday to my beautiful daughter-in-law, my son Dallas, wife Tracy. Yeah, I'm not going to say how old she is. I don't want to get mad at me, but I want to say happy birthday to her. And another good friend of me and Chushke and Wendy's, I'm going to wish her happy birthday. Her name's Melissa Olson.
Oh. She's
been on Chushke's show. Mm-hmm. She's been on Chushke's show. And hey, Chushke, help me out with this birthday. I hope I'm not tearing it up. Ogama?
Yeah, Ogama.
Ogama?
Yeah, Emma Needham. Yes, who's on the show in the beginning.
Yeah, so happy birthday to her. So, anyway, another one down there in Winnebago, down there in Nebraska, Chushke of mine, Vince Bass Jr. I want to say happy birthday to Vinny Jr. And another friend of ours that's been on Chushke's show. I want to say happy birthday to Terry Stoffer. You know, so happy birthday, Terry. And another one, a real good dancer, a native dancer, man. I want to say happy birthday to Dave Goodman. So, Goody, happy birthday. And then
yeah.
We got another relative of ours, his wife, his queen. So we're going to say happy birthday to Candace McKee. That's Lonnie's wife. But anywho, nice. Then I'm like I say, there's a couple older people in us, you know, a couple of minutes, maybe a day older in us. So they're elders. We look up to our elders. And like I said, with this time, with this COVID and stuff like that, I know we got a social distance, but hey, there's a phone call away, man. Check in on them elders. Make sure everything's okay. Maybe a little grocery or maybe some soda or something, you know. Check in on them.
Yeah.
And so we're going to say happy birthday to a friend of ours. I call him Akito. He's a member of the District 4 up here, Mark Strassner's Mount Bonnie.
Yeah.
Got the pleasure of riding with her. Excuse me. And then there's another elder up there, up in God's country, his name is Raleigh White Eagle. And Virginia Little George. And what we want to do, too, is want to give a couple shout-outs here. And first of all, they're the one that been listening to Robert and Wendy's every program they have. Been on Chuchka's show. Her name is Rebecca Backus, and she's going to listen in today, too. So,
uh-huh.
And the other one we can't always forget about, and then we call him the Wabbit, Waskly Wabbit, Jerry Ogunash. He wants us to give him a shout-out every week, so I really love that, brother. So,
right on.
Have a hope. And the other one we can't forget about is working his tail off, and our friend, and I call him Nephew Chuchka. His name's Dave Hutch.
Yes.
He's a sheriff in Hennepin County.
Your county.
And so we want to say, yeah, my county over here. So he takes good care of us over here. But anyway, we want to give a special shout out. And I just seen my new WODUC and all them good looking 2020 graduates, you know. So I want to say congratulations to each and every one of you, you know. So, and then the other thing on an event coming up, too, is that all you Ho-Chunk members, all around the country, don't forget to get that form in there. They got some stimulus money coming your way, you know. But that form's got to be in. You can do it online or go to the branch office, your branch office, and get your form and mail it off. But that's very important right now. So the other thing I want to say about an event coming up, it's running all week. It's MN350. It's a fundraiser. They're going to do that online. So you go to mn350.org and check it out. And then Chuchka's got some events that I wanted to bring up about his symposium and his pilot progressive.
Right. Well, we got the Patreon, and we want to thank everybody that's supporting us. And without you, we wouldn't be on the air. And that's Patreon, Native Roots Radio. And we have the link up on our Facebook page. And also we do a Tuesday symposium. We've changed it for the summer hours, and last week we did one on the Redskins and getting rid of the name. And we were honored to have co-founder Clyde Belcourt on of American mm-hmm. Indian Movement, and also Madonna Thunderhawk, a warrior woman, and she's been everywhere, and David Glass and the regulars. And then also well, we just got to talk about voting, too, and get the vote out, get the Native vote out, Uncle Curtis.
Yes.
Definitely. And then I want to give a special shout-out to Ho-Chunk, too, because the way they're feeding the people every Friday, it's a beautiful thing, and they're also helping farmers in Wisconsin by purchasing their food and distributing it.
Yeah, we're truly blessed. The Ho-Chunk Nation are just, I like I said, I can't thank them enough. I'm so proud to be a Ho-Chunk member, that way they look after the people, no matter if you're over there living on Wisconsin ground or you're over here in Minnesota, man. They've taken good care of the people, and I really heartfelt thank you to them. Pinagigis, you know.
Well, before I get to your Gaga or Native Wisdom, I just want to remind everyone to mask up. You're saving lives, and you're saving everybody's lives. And we've had some tragedy that's come full circle in a good way in our family. So we just want to remind everyone to mask up when they're out and about. Uh-huh. So, Uncle uh-huh. Curtis, do you have a Gaga or a Native Wisdom to end it up here?
Yeah, I got a quote from a very Chief Joseph. It's a thing that kind of fitting right now. I said, Chief Joseph said, "I believe much trouble would be saved if we opened our hearts more." Chief Joseph.
Peeny Gigi, Uncle Curtis, and have a great week.
Hey, I love you, Chuchka.
I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to the show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenicus, "The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office." You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I've been your host, Robert Pilot. The revolution is kicking into high gear, and I would like to thank all my listening audience, our sponsors, and especially our guests, which make this show. If you are listening to this show, you are the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.
We are awake.